com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. Brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And we're here today with Radley Weiniger, a clinical psychologist and mediation teacher, and she's the founder of Mindful Heart Programs. Welcome.
Thank you.
So I'm so glad you're here, because the one thing I need, given all this evacuation threat, is how to meditate. And I've tried meditation, I don't know, 300 or 400 times, and I've never been able to do it. So I've got 49 minutes left. Can we meditate me?
Sure, I love to. Would you like to start with a meditation, or to talk about meditation?
So, is it possible that some people can't meditate because their mind is spinning so quickly? And
I wouldn't know if everybody can meditate, so I wouldn't make a false promise. But I think meditation is mainly for people with very busy minds, and I'm one of them. I have a crazy mind, and that's why I started to meditate, because I was just driven crazy by my own mind and heart. And I think that's how most people start. And what they say about meditation is easy but not simple. Mm-hmm. It's simple but not easy. And there is definitely an art to it. And it's good to have really good instruction. I think it's hard to start just by yourself or even with an app. It's good to sometimes have a teacher or be in a group and to just learn how to focus our minds and hearts to be really present. And if you like, I tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So we can't really control our minds, as you might have noticed. And one of my teachers says the mind is like a gland that excretes thoughts. So if we think we can just stop our mind, good luck. What we can work on is being aware of our mind. So, and that's basically what the goal is, to be aware of what your inner landscape is like, of your thoughts, feelings, images, whatever, worries, concerns, to watch them arising and disappearing. And where we get basically into trouble, or the Buddha said, where suffering happens, is when we grasp or push away that what comes up. So let's say sadness arising in itself is not a problem, you know, if it moves through. And I think research says that emotions usually pass through, if we don't entangle with them, within 30 seconds. You know, anger arises and it passes through. That's where we habitually get into trouble, and it's a completely normal and unconscious process, is where we entangle ourselves with what comes up.
So a defense mechanism I always use is denial. And I hear from what you're saying that that's probably the worst thing you can do, because denial is a blocking mechanism that blocks the negative, what you think is negativity, by not thinking, saying, it's not going to happen. We're not going to be evacuated. I don't have to worry about it. But deep down, you are worried. So did I interpret your view correctly?
Well, you're kind of mixing there a little bit apples and oranges. You know, defense mechanisms comes from Anna Freud. You know, this is how we defend ourselves against fear, and mainly against fear. Mm-hmm. For example, by projection or intellectualization or whatever it might be. And I think it is related, but it's slightly different. Let's say fear is coming up. You know, we are having thoughts of, oh no, I have to evacuate. You know, so denial would kind of make us distract ourselves or push it down under the carpet or maybe project. I say, oh no, you are afraid. I'm not afraid. You know, whatever we do with that. So what mindfulness would teach us is to notice, fear is arising. You know, fear is coming up. Okay, and I might feel that fear in my body. You know, there's a constriction in my chest, maybe a knot in my stomach. And I notice, oh, I just really want to distract myself. I want to turn on this TV. I want to drink a whiskey, whatever I want to do. I want to get mad at you. You know, whatever might distract me from my fear. And so what we learn in meditation is to stay present with what is coming up, with the thought, the emotion, the physical sensation of fear. And actually what we especially learn in meditation is to stay what's called the felt sense, the physical sensation of what is happening. Because the physical sensation allows us to be in the present moment. And as we stay, let's say, with our knot in the stomach, with the constriction in the heart, then, and we don't run away from it, we just kind of, with a certain gentleness and awareness stay with it, then it can move on or it can change into something else. Or maybe we notice we are really afraid, but it kind of, there's movement, it doesn't get stuck. And then we say, you know, maybe it's smart to pack our bag and pack the car.
What is the word mindfulness? It's in your book. It's in the press. What does mindfulness really mean?
Mindfulness is a fairly new word. I think it was probably coined by John Kabat-Zinn, who called, I think, at the University of Massachusetts, which called moment-to-moment non-judgmental attention. That's what when I started meditating, which was 1980 in Sri Lanka, I was a German medical student and I ended up in a monastery in Sri Lanka then. It was called Satipatthana, which means awareness meditation. So it's not concentration meditation, like focusing on a light or on a mantra. It's being aware what is happening. And then the name morphed into insight meditation, because as you do this meditation, you have a broader perspective. You have more insight about your internal and external life, and sometimes actually insights arise as you become more calm and more clear, you might say. And then I don't know exactly when it happened, probably sometimes in the middle to late 80s, that the word mindfulness meditation came up, and that's the most popular word right now. And it means being present without judgment, being attentive to what is.
And if you follow the logic through, it would not only make you less neurotic as a person, but also make you a better citizen, I would suspect, because you would be more likely to have empathy and compassion.
It is. Because one thing, if we stick with our meditation practice, we don't only learn to focus and to attend and to be present and less defendant, as you say, with what happens inside of ourselves. Let's say some unpleasant emotion arises, like shame or embarrassment. You know, we can actually look at it and see it and let it pass through. But what we also learn is empathy for ourselves or self-compassion. You know, like I say in my book, The Path of Self-Compassion. And self-compassion then compassion for others is really necessary as a partner with awareness. Because if we are only aware, it could be too stark. We realize how frustrated we are, how much anger we have, how unpleasant we feel, how, you know, it could be overwhelming. Did I really want to see all this? So when awareness is paired with compassion, with a sense of suffering with a sense of kindness and gentleness, then we can really be present with whatever is, whether it's on the outside or on the inside.
So I think what you're telling me is that when I evacuate, I should take you with me. And if I can't take you with me, there is a new book out, or a book out called Heart Work, the Path of Self-Compassion, which I would recommend if you want to begin this journey. And how does one get this book?
At Chaucer's, at Paradise Found, at Amazon, at Goodreads. It's published by Shambhala Publications.
Okay, great. It's called Heartwork.
Or on my website, radleyweiningerphd.com. There's a little button. You can order it there.
So a month from now, when I open up the show and I am just totally cool and relaxed, you'll know I've read the book and began my practice. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character buildings to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Radley Weiniger, a clinical psychologist and mediation teacher and founder. Mediation is not what we want to do. It's meditation. See, this is the problem. I turn things like meditation into mediation because that's my business background. You don't want to go to mediation. That gets you nervous. You want to meditate. And founder of Mindful Heart Programs. Welcome back. You had a very similar upbringing than I did. You went to Sri Lanka and studied medicine. No, I'm joking. I was in New York studying stocks and bonds. So how did you end up in Sri Lanka? It's not one of the top 10 Club Med places.
Well, yes.
She says, you know, to be diplomatic, a moment of silence. Go ahead.
I was coming from a very medical family. Everybody was basically muscled into medicine who could. So me too. And so I was in medical school, but I have to say medicine wasn't really my passion. I loved people. Mm-hmm. I like talking to people. Actually, I tried to study medicine and psychology at the same time, but I really didn't like it. It was too technical for me, too fast-paced, too whatever. So I got sick. I had two car accidents. I was not a happy young adult, teenager, young adult. And so after these two car accidents, I took 7 months off and went with my boyfriend actually to study acupuncture. That was our excuse for our parents to do something helpful over there. And then I just had this coincidence happened that I ended up in a Buddhist monastery. One day I went down a street in Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka, and I saw the sign International Buddhist Center. And so I thought, this sounds interesting. And so I just kind of spontaneously went down that little road. And it was raining really hard, monsoon, and I knocked on the door and a young monk opened up and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I don't know."
And that was the right answer.
And he said, "Come follow me." And so I followed him into the belly of this big monastery and he had me sit in front of the littlest, oldest monk. And he looked like a little mummy. And so I sat there not really knowing what to expect. And then he opened his eyes. And I just had this feeling he had these X-ray eyes. He could just look through me. And so and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I don't know." And then I said, "I want to learn." That was the right answer, I guess. And so he said, "Okay, come every morning at 9:15. And so, but this guy had really some amazing energy. You know, I just really felt whatever this man has, I would like to have. So every day I kind of went there. And later I asked my teacher, Jack Kornfield, if he knew this monk, Dhammaloka, and I found out later he was actually a very famous monk, and I just stumbled in there. And but he was just having a real special quality. And then he gave me the address to a forest monastery where I then schlepped my poor boyfriend, who rather wanted to go to the beach, but he came. And so we stayed there another 2 months until our visa ran out, and then we went over to India. So
well,
that's when
you're lucky that they told you to come at 9:15. When I was in Bhutan, they said come at 4:30 in the morning. Usually monks have a very different sense of what one morning is.
Well, once I was in the real monastery for 2 months, I had to get up every morning at 4, and then they would start at 4:30 or 5. Yeah, that's right.
That's why I'm not going to become a monk.
That's a little earlier. I'm not an early riser either.
So, you know, we talk here about the floods and the evacuations, but there are really bigger fish to fry in the world today. And the Parkland shootings are, you know, really a depressing situation. And if you think about what it's like to be a kid today, whether it's being afraid of being shot or with the immigration situation where you're afraid you're going to go home and your parents aren't going to be home.
Right, exactly.
And you have kids that you're having a tough time enough getting through school. Can kids meditate? Can kids use any of this to get through this very difficult period?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There is now quite a bit of research on that. And meditation really helps with post-traumatic stress disorder, with trauma. It helps with attention deficit disorder. There are big studies now. And I think I would say it helps in two ways. And, you know, my kids, my son, I took them all to Dharamsala, India, when they were teenagers. I thought it would be a good experience for them to not become Santa Barbara or Montecito brats. So I took them to teach English to people in Dharamsala. And they really loved it. It really changed their mind. And my son, he was 15. He actually did a 9-day retreat there. So I think it would help in two ways. One is that it helps kids to build an inner sense of refuge, a kind of a place inside that once they learn a little bit, the practice can be a sense of calm, a sense that's their own, that doesn't cost anything, where they can always go, a place of well-being, a place from which to encounter and be aware of what is uncomfortable. So I think that's one way how meditation can be really helpful. The other one is, and that's what I teach more in the Heart Work book, is you can teach people, children, adults, everybody, to extend kindness, compassion, a sense of gentleness towards themselves. Because so often we beat ourselves up, we blame ourselves, and especially children. You know, I think that's how the child's mind is made. You know, it's like when our parents get divorced, we think it's our fault. When we feel afraid and anxious, we think we should be different, we should be braver, or we should act differently than we do. And so we can actually cultivate self-compassion, a sense of gentleness towards ourselves. So when feelings of self-criticism, of harshness, of self-blame come up, we can learn to extend a sense of gentleness towards ourselves. And sometimes I help teenagers or children, for example, to develop phrases that are especially accessible and relevant for them. For example, may I be gentle with myself when I feel vulnerable? May I extend a sense of compassion towards myself when I'm afraid? May I be patient with myself and understanding when I feel frustrated and angry? So those kinds of phrases can be really helpful, and they are very calming.
Are these phrases as a mantra or just a phrase, a singular sentence?
Well, I would say a singular sentence, but you could repeat them. They could be made into a mantra, but kind of necessarily, sometimes mantras have a bit of a formulaic kind of, a bit of a more like robotic way of being. Mm. And they definitely have a place. They can be very useful. So I think it's good that people, children, adults really feel it when they say it.
Mm. And if somebody, if you look at some kids, which unfortunately there are in every environment, that don't seem to have empathy for other kids, is that a reflection of a lack of empathy for themselves? I mean, do these go together? So,
yeah.
So is it, you know, I always ask questions of people like you when I ask about, can you teach empathy? And
yeah.
What I'm hearing from you is maybe the way to teach empathy is to have them become empathetic about their own self as opposed to the other person.
Well, I could say a little bit about this. There has been a very interesting research project in Groningen, Netherlands, and I think it has been repeated in different places in the U.S. with a man, Professor Kaiser, who started it. And he did a compassion project with kids in schools. For example, they had a school class where there was some bullying going on, I think of my 8-year-olds. And so they took the school class where there were some bullies in this class, where there was quite a bit of strife and unhappiness and fighting going on. And they said, okay, let's take the school class and teach meditation, but also self-compassion and compassion for other exercises. And they did this, I think, 3 times 2 hours a week, you know, for 3 months. And they even did functional MRIs with those kids before and after. And they could see not only a change in behavior, those kids became nicer, the bullying stopped, but there was also a change in their functional MRIs. So their neural pathways changed a little bit.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
From the AM 1290 News Center, I'm Richard Dugan with this storm readiness update. Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office has issued a recommended evacuation warning for the Thomas Fire, Sherpa Fire, and Whittier Fire burn areas in Goleta, Santa Barbara, Montecito, Summerlin, and Carpinteria, where residents are advised to relocate to safer areas in advance of the storm that is forecast to arrive late Thursday. This has been a storm readiness update from the AM 1290 News Center. I'm Richard Dugan, inviting you to stay tuned to AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Radley Wanager, a clinical psychologist and meditation teacher, and the founder of Mindful Heart Programs. And you mentioned before Jack Kornfield, and I let it slip. Tell us a little bit about Jack Kornfield.
Well, Jack Kornfield is my mentor. He is a quite well-known meditation teacher, probably the most well-known meditation teacher here on the West Coast. He has a meditation center up north of San Francisco at Spirit Rock Meditation Center. I think he started meditating in the late 60s when he was with the Peace Corps in Thailand. And then he became a monk there, and then he brought meditation back to the U.S., and I think his parents made him study psychology. They wanted him to get a real job. And so he's quite a psychological-minded meditation teacher. And I think that has been, for so many of us, the challenge, how to bring these really wonderful practices from the East, whether it's Zen Japan or Theravadan Buddhism in Burma, Sri Lanka, Thailand, or Tibetan Buddhism, how can we bring them into the Western landscape and make them useful? Because they have to be adjusted. I often say that a Buddhism has, you know, come into many countries. You know, it started in India and then Sri Lanka, Thailand, Vietnam, China, Japan, Tibet. And now we are in a new country, the country of modernity, which goes from Düsseldorf to Los Angeles to Bombay or Seoul. You know, so it's not localized. It's more of a culture. And so we have to secularize those practices. It's not a religion now. You know, it's a practice that can be helpful. And really, it is what the Buddha said first. He set out to decrease suffering. And I think that's really what it is about. It's not about promoting a belief system. It's about decreasing suffering. And I think Buddhist practice has a really unique chance to do that right now in the West or in modernity. Let's say rather modernity, because it's not so bound to a certain faith. You know, it's more like let's find practices that relieve suffering, that help us to be more aware and more kind. And one of the dictums in Buddhist practice is to realize that all is change and all is interconnected. Like the Dalai Lama talks a lot about interdependence or interconnectedness. And he says, if we really realize how interconnected we are, then we would have more compassion, because then we know everybody is a relative. We are not really objects.
You know, what's interesting is that we're talking, even though it's sort of not directly, but we're talking about a religion. And yet religion over the eons have been probably one of the most formidable obstacles to people finding, inner peace, which is sort of paradoxical given what religion is supposed to do. And, you know, I'm not just talking about abuse of people in authority, but, you know, the doctrine of most religions, you know, interferes with people's own inner sense of what they should do. And I think, you know, one of the things that made, you know, Buddhism, you know, in New York, which is a mostly Jewish community, there are people called Jubus.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many you know, people converted to Buddhism because they're Jubus. because it's not...
Jack Kornfield is a Jubu.
Is he? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I could become one, right? What do I have to do? I have to go to a church of some sort?
No. You know, I think... there are many different ways to practice this practice. You don't have to convert to, you don't have to be card-carrying member of anything. You can just do a practice, and you still can go to your synagogue or to your church or wherever you want to go. You know, you can mix and match. And one thing I like most when we do our solidarity and compassion evenings at Trinity Church is when we have our interfaith evenings, which, by the way, includes atheists and agnostics.
Have you heard of the book Practices for Opening Your Heart? That's your book, right?
Yeah.
So I just got a text from my wife, LOL. I'm looking at my bookshelf, and there's this book called Practices for Opening Your Heart. Kornfeld wrote the foreword. So you've been modest about more than one book. And that's why my wife thinks that you're very, very good. She actually is a reader. So I don't have to buy the other book. I'm sorry. I have it at home.
All right. Very good.
All right.
But I just wanted to assure people that you don't have to swear off your religion of origin. You know, you don't have to join another club and promise something. Just try out some practices and see how it integrates into your life, how you can cultivate compassion and awareness. I don't know if you recently heard about this bestseller by Robert Wright, Why Buddhism is True. He's, a developmental psychologist. And what he says, he wrote books like The Moral Animal, things, very famous books. So what he says, in the past, being selfish and greedy and self-preoccupied was actually of advantage to us, because we could advance our tribe or our family's fortune or good luck. But nowadays we realize in this world, especially where our environment is breaking down, this brings us to the brink of ruin. You know, our world could actually come to a cracking point if we continue to be selfish and greedy and all of that. So he says we can't really wait for evolution anymore. It's too slow. We have to have something what he calls cultural evolution.
So speaking of evolution, mm-hmm. I'm a runner. I'm very tight, and I can't sit in the with my legs like you are. Does that mean I can't do yoga? And because I can't sit like a yogi?
No, is that you a physical? Can. There are many different meditation postures. You can sit on a chair. You can lie down. You can stand. You even can meditate running. We can adjust it to you.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Radley Weiniger, clinical psychologist and meditation teacher, founder of Mindful Heart Programs, and the person that's going to make me a better person and more relaxed. I'm still not relaxed yet. It takes time.
We'll work on that.
Really. Okay, because, you know, usually I like to things quickly. That's the problem. So speaking of marriages, you are fortunate enough to work with someone who actually is you're married to or vice versa. So tell us about how that's worked out for you.
No, I'm just married to him. He's not married to me.
Oh, well, not in, excuse me. California is a community property state. If he doesn't think he is, he is.
Well, yeah.
Had that did you meet because of this common interest, or did you find it together?
We met at a conference on dreams at Pacifica. He was working. My husband, Michael Carney, is a hospice doctor, and he works at Cottage, and he's the medical director of Serenity House. And he then lived in Ireland, and we met at a conference on dreams at Pacifica University.
Yeah, the head of the school is a dreams expert.
Yeah, with
he
Steve
did my
Eisenstadt.
Dreams. He came to my house once with Jennifer Freed, yeah. and we did our dreams.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it started. Yeah. So we met there, and then Michael made his long way to California to get realized. I still love to work with dreams. That's my other big big passion. And one day I want to bring mindfulness and dreams together.
So what do you make it? I feel like I'm at my therapist's office. Can I lie down, by the way? So tell me, why? I am someone, and people who can't do this don't believe I can do it. But I can wake up, you know, use the restroom, and say, I like the dream I was dreaming, and go back and finish it.
What? Wow, this is very cool.
Consistently. In fact, it makes it easier to go back to sleep because I'm excited about getting back into the dream.
You're a very fortunate man.
Yeah, so that's why I sleep a lot.
Well, it would be wonderful if you would remember this dream and work it. And I think there are some similarities between working a dream through dream tending or embodied imagination and mindfulness meditation. They're both very phenomenological. They just stay with whatever is happening right now in the present moment.
Yeah, I find that dreams, if it's a enjoyable dream, mm-hmm. the yearning and the comfort of that dream stays with me during the day, and I want to do whatever mm-hmm. it is that I was doing, and I can keep the dream for hours.
This is really not what I was coming here to say, but I was thinking working with dreams, especially for teenagers, is another wonderful way of working with post-traumatic stress disorder. And actually, if one would combine both, you know, one would teach teenagers to work with a meditation practice and with self-compassion, but then also work with their nightmares or difficult dreams. And trust the emergent phenomena of what comes up in the dream and work with it. I think it would be a wonderfully effective way to work what's happened right now with the mudslides, with the fires, with the shootings, and kind of find another inner place of wisdom that comes out.
Do you work with EMDR?
I don't.
That sort of the way you ended that sentence means you don't like it.
No. I just don't know enough about it.
Yeah. So, do you work together with your husband at all?
We teach together. We teach together a one-year mindfulness and compassion facilitator program. We taught together for the last 15 years at La Casa de Maria, which unfortunately has been wounded a bit. But we moved our training now to the Unitarian Society.
Who are the people that go to this training? What is the typical person that goes to this?
Well, we have quite a few psychologists or PhD students. We have one of the directors of CALM, some people from the Family Therapy Institute. We have an immigration lawyer because he feels people in immigration are really getting burned out right now. We have some people who are professors at UCSB, for example, a Chicano studies professor, because he feels many professors now feel they want to bring meditation, mindfulness, and compassion training into their classrooms and maybe start their class with that. And my vision for this training is to make it accessible, create safe places, make it accessible for people who might be disadvantaged. We have 4 people in our program who are Spanish speaking. And, you know, I'm thinking about the stress of immigration, you know, not knowing whether you will be deported or your parents will be deported, young people who are in the DACA group. And so actually one of our students starts this week a group at Casa de la Raza with mindfulness and compassion. She's now translating into Spanish. One woman wants to bring it into the business world. There are 2 people who want to bring it into the school system. There are some people who want to bring it into old people's homes, which I think is like a wonderful idea. You know, I'm asked quite often to come into Serenity House, into hospice, into nursing home to be with people who are unsettled, close to death. And I think just doing a little bit of meditation can really make the last time of life and the transition out of life much easier.
Are there scholarships for these seminars?
Yes, we do have scholarships available. I think we have 30 people in our training and 4 of them have a scholarship. And we are trying to raise money. That's actually the reason why we put this nonprofit together.
Tell us about the nonprofit. We don't know
about it. It's Mindful Heart Programs, okay. And we did it really solely for that for the purpose that we can accept scholarships. And there have been some people waiting in the wings giving us donations, but we had to go through this whole process of, you know, putting our nonprofit together.
That's great. And the before the program, you were telling us about a program. Is this the same program, the one that you have all these people coming to? You were telling, right?
Oh, no, that's the Solidarity and Compassion.
Yes, yes. Program. So tell us about that. That sounded really interesting.
Yeah, that's something my husband and I started after the elections, because we were worried. We were worried to have a safe place where people can not only resist, I guess there are places like Indivisible and Resist, but where people can think together, reflect together, think about different topics. So at one of these evenings, some of the themes were compassion as refuge and as response, how to be engaged in a time of fear, forgiveness in a time of polarization. That was right after Charlottesville. And so we start with a time of meditation. Then we have a panel. Sometimes it's an interfaith panel. We had Imam Niazi, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Schaefer, Julia Hamilton from the Unitarian Society. We had Terence Keel from UCSB. We had Kathleen Moore, who's the religious studies chair. We have different people coming to our panels to just discuss together topics of interest. They could include environment, they could include healthcare and immigration. They could, how can we talk to each other when we come from different viewpoints? And then we always accept questions from the audience. And so half of the time will be a discussion between the panel and the audience. So it's kind of like a town hall meeting.
You know, I don't want to trivialize this because I think it's terrific, but Sarah Silverman, who's a comedian, had a 10-episode series on this year on Netflix. And what she did in each episode, she went, they taped it, she went to a red, red, red state.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a totally left-wing Jewish woman and with a profane mouth.
Yeah.
And she went to families and had dinner with them who were very right-wing. And by the end of the dinner, they were all hugging and kissing. And she
such
was,
a great idea.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And, you know, when it started out, you said, this is not going to work. And it did work because she was able to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I find it difficult to listen to someone trying to justify an assault weapon, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to take a break. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be right back with our last segment.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafon's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafon and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Radley Weiniger, clinical psychologist and meditation teacher, founder of Mindful Heart Programs, and my new guide. The computer seems to be taking over everything, and it's sort of ironic that with a thousands and thousands of year old practice, there's probably ways to do this on the computer. I know there are apps out there. What do you think of these? Do you have a computer app? And what do you think of the computer apps that allegedly help you, find a way to do meditation?
Well, I think they work especially well when people already have a practice. To start just with an app, I think it might help with some very disciplined individuals, but often it's difficult. You know, often it's good to come maybe once a week to a meditation group. But there are some apps that are getting quite good. I like that one app, 10% Happier, with Joseph Goldstein. But if people are interested in meditation groups to pop in sometimes, I teach three a week that are for free. Mm. One is in Ala Vista Mondays at 7 at St. Michael's University Church. It's quite a few students, but also other people. Lots of people with disabilities actually come to that one. Then Tuesdays at 6 at the Museum of Natural History. And I was Thursdays at La Casa de Maria, but now I can't be there. So Sacred Space invited me. So I'm Thursdays at 6 at the Sacred Space with Jack Hirschhorn.
He was a guest on my
other
show.
Yeah, he's lovely. Yeah. He's a good friend.
So
so they're free. Anybody can pop in.
Yeah,
you don't have to call.
They have a nice place, too.
Yeah, so, I'm in that tent place.
So
yeah.
Why are you doing it for free? Is this your mission?
It's my community service. Right. I just don't want money to be in the way. Mm-hmm. And I have a day job. I have a good day job.
Tell us about your day job. We have a minute left.
I'm a psychotherapist. And, I have quite a full practice. And so I feel I can, I don't know, it's just I have a hard time putting a price tag on spiritual practice, and it just seems easier and cleaner and more egalitarian to not make money with it and to just offer it freely. And I'm doing that for 15 years, and I plan to continue to do that.
That's fantastic. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've had 25 years of therapy, so don't I come
across... Me too!
Don't I come across as totally normal?
Well, I think normal would be very boring.
Anyway, thank you so much for being here. We said during the break, all of us, Richard and Lisa, that we could go on and on and on, and we probably will at some future time, because this was very, very interesting. And I'm going to go home and try my meditation again for the 50th time, but I think I may get it this time. Radley Weiniger, thank you so much for being here. Her website is called...
RadleyWeiningerPhD.com or MindfulHeartPrograms.org.
Terrific. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be back here next week.